From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back. It's Locked On Chiefs, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. It's getting to that point where everybody is on planes and in cars and making their way to Indianapolis right now, but there's a couple things we need to talk about before that. So, Seth's here from The Athletic. You got me from RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. Chris will be back tomorrow, so we're excited to talk to you. Seth, how are you feeling?
I am feeling good. I'm a little groggy today, but other than that, I'm all right.
Oh, you know, naps will do that.
They will. I got my rare sleep today, and so I'm pretty happy. This is the deal. You know the drill, man. When you work too much, you either eventually have a psychotic episode, or about every few weeks. It used to be like every few months. Now, as I get older, it's every few weeks. You just crash. And
or if you're me, you do both. It happens. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking of psychotic, there's some craziness out here that I want to talk about.
You have taken on my mantle of Mythbuster guy, and I have never been prouder.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I'm happy for you. This is the next step. Soon you will find yourself saying, you know, a lot. And if you decide to pick up writing again, doing a bunch of parenthetical asides, it's going to be great. I'm very excited for you.
Nobody wants to see me write again. We'll just avoid that. But here's the thing. A lot of questions lately from fans, from listeners, from viewers, everything revolving about these talents. And they are talents. I don't want to take anything away from them. They're good athletes. Mm-hmm. At the running back and the tight end position, the running back in particular. And I put some tweets out on Tuesday afternoon. So if you get a chance, folks, go back and check that out, because here's the thing. It's important to have a running game. The Chiefs need one. It is effective at times, especially when it can take some pressure off of what Mahomes is trying to do. But this defense is crumbling on all levels, especially when we don't know what they're going to do with the decisions that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks with the pass rushers. That's critically going to have an output on what happens the rest of it. So you can't ignore this defense and try to focus on, no matter who you drafted at tight end or particularly at running back, they're going to be a backup. It's just not worth even exploring. They can't take either of those positions until day three, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, if we have ever seen, and I've seen you tilting at windmills, as it were. I've seen you having to deal with this. Here's the thing. You and I differ somewhat in the importance of the run game. I think situationally can be important. I tend to view it as lesser importance, but it does have value, especially situationally. However, you'd think after what Chiefs fans have seen over the years, they would start to realize that spending draft capital or big money on a running back, you know, talk about tilting at windmills. It just doesn't, it's not an effective strategy. And that seems to be the thrust of what you're talking about, right? Like, this last year is kind of the proof is in the pudding, and the Chiefs showed it this year, going from an all pro to a career backup.
Right. And that's what, you know, retweeting what PFF had to say, and they were very specific about in the box versus missed tackles. Two things that those two backs in Kareem Hunt and Damian Williams do completely differently. Yet they're still both effective. And Damian Williams was actually more effective on a per carry basis than Kareem Hunt was in 2018. So the big thing is, you got to have a run game. It doesn't really matter which style, power versus, you know, the skittery kind of guy. You just got to be able to take some of the pressure off the rest of the offense.
Right. And the idea, you know, people talk about, you need that hammer for third and short and or goal line situations. I think if we've seen one thing in the NFL, this idea of lining literally everyone up right at the line of scrimmage and just trying to force your way into the end zone is one of the least efficient ways to score, generally speaking, even at like the 2 yard line. Now, if you're at the one or inside, fair enough, but that's going to be almost entirely contingent on your blocking. Right? A little guy who's fast, if the blocking's good, he'll get there just as well as a big dude. You know what I mean?
And sometimes more easily if there's, you know, a gap you can squeeze into.
Exactly. You know, if a guy can run thin and he's fast, and that was one of the things against stacked boxes, Damian Williams outperformed Kareem Hunt, and part of that is his burst, his ability to get there. The reality mm-hmm. is, and people saw this with Todd Gurley and then CJ Anderson mm-hmm. with the Rams. Anderson performed just as well as Todd freaking Gurley. And Gurley has been the one, like, people that view as kind of like the exception of the rule, except maybe Le'Veon Bell. And two of the exceptions this last year that people considered in terms of, you know, who your running back is not mattering too much as long as you've got a good system. Two of the exceptions have been considered Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt because they are singularly talented individual. Gurley in an all-around way, Kareem Hunt at breaking tackles and creating yards. But then Damian Williams takes over, and Williams is a fine player, make no mistake. Mm-hmm. But he was just as effective, if not more so. And the Chiefs recognized that, and they signed him to an extension. I will put this to you. Here's my theory with regards to running back, and I think it goes along with what you're saying. There's no other position in the NFL where there's a smaller difference between a decent player and a great player. Would you agree with that? Where the difference between decent and great just doesn't move the needle that much on offense?
At the end of the day, probably not. I mean, there's differences in individual talent, yes.
Right,
and
right.
What they can create on their own, and like Kareem Hunt, how they can make people miss downfield on their own. Mm-hmm. But you're right. At the end of the day, everybody has to have blocking. If you've seen excellent athletes, great vision running backs, mm-hmm. struggle for years behind terrible lines, at the end yeah. of the day, you got to have blocking.
Right. And so here's part two of that. There are probably 60 decent running backs in the NFL, if not more. Yeah. And that's the problem for running backs. That's the problem for Le'Veon Bell. That's the problem for a lot of these. And Le'Veon Bell is an incredibly talented back. Kareem Hunt is an incredibly talented back. Todd Gurley is incredibly talented. But really, it just doesn't move the needle that much. Now, on a carry-by-carry basis, it might, right? Like, every now and then, you know, Jamaal Charles is one of my very favorite athletes of all time. I cried when the Chiefs didn't bring him back because, and they were very manly tears, I promise, but mm-hmm. because I knew my kids would never see him play live because it was so special watching him play live. But at the end of the day, from a team productivity standpoint, and this is something I've really changed my mind on lately over the last 2 or 3 years when I look at the evidence, from an offensive production standpoint, it just doesn't move the needle. Jamaal Charles, in my opinion, and yeah, I'm a homer when it comes to Jamaal Charles, I think he is one of the greatest runners of all time. I really believe that. I believe that I would stack him up against almost anyone as far as a pure runner, right?
Yeah.
And the bottom line is he's replaceable in a decent system. Yeah, it moves the needle somewhat carry by carry, but just not that much. And there's a lot of decent running backs out there. And that's why you can have a Jamaal Charles go down and a Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West do really well. And then you can have a Kareem Hunt do really well. And then you can have a, you know what I mean? If you've got a good system, it's going to work out provided the guy isn't mm-hmm. terrible. Cause we all remember like Nile Davis, cause you can't have a terrible running back. That's the yeah. only thing.
Acceleration is the key. And I think that was Nile's, he had that top end speed, but I think finding the whole accelerating to it, having that instinctual part is a part of the game too. But you're right. You just, if yeah. you have a good one, you can get a good one. And this is the bigger point for me. You can get a good one on mm-hmm. day three or even UDFA.
Absolutely. 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 You look at Damian Williams. You look at Spencer Ware. You look at the guys the Chiefs have had perform. Kareem Hunt was a third round pick. That is absolutely as high as I'm comfortable with a team taking a running back. And only then, my understanding is they took Kareem Hunt because they loved his mm-hmm. tape. And in their eyes, he fell. If you have another situation like that where you got a guy, but you know what? With the way Damian Williams performed, I wouldn't even support that at this point.
I hear you. Oh, man. Yeah. And that goes into something that I think we should talk about in the next segment because there are free agent possibilities. And I want to, folks, we'll take our break. We're going to come back and talk about what Seth would do if he was Brett Veach.
Ooh.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
Now, hopefully you're not taking over anyone's body, but if you were the guy in charge,
I'd eat a lot of barbecue. Oh, sorry.
Okay, sold. I can get behind that. So I'll meet you at Q39. Sorry, Joe. I got to mix it up somehow.
You do. But, you do. You can't just eat the same thing every time. I mean, you can eat the same genre, but not the same place. But yes, I've been thinking a lot about what I would do if I were Brett Veach.
So, like, give me the lowdown. What's the overarching theory?
The overarching theory for me is that the Chiefs were a defensive offsides penalty from the Super Bowl.
Oh,
a
super, stop it.
A Super Bowl they probably would have won. I mean, that's
there.
When you see the Rams, and again, you know, the Rams look like a completely different team against the Chiefs, in my opinion, because Bob Sutton ain't Bill Belichick.
But before you get on a roll, though, let me make sure you're not saying just let D Ford walk.
No.
Okay.
For me, but the big thing is that offsides penalty. So my thing is the Chiefs have a Super Bowl window. They are a clear Super Bowl contender. No one doubts that. They'll probably be a Super Bowl contender or at least a playoff contender every year Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback. Yeah. Welcome to franchise quarterback. So you don't want to completely mortgage your future, but you can afford to swing for the fences because they were, had they even had an average defense last year, almost no one doubts that they probably go something like 15-1 and probably win the Super Bowl. Just even an average defense. Well, now they brought in a new coaching staff and I want to populate the defense with as much talent as possible. I think some of the guys they have are a better fit for Steve Spagnuolo's system. Mm-hmm. But I also want them to have a chance to succeed. So I've been doing, you know, my hypothetical world. If I were Brett Veach, I do it every year. And this is part two. And so keep in mind, you know, in part one, I cut Eric Berry with a June 1st designation, which means some of the money won't come available till after June 1st, but it allows you to operate right up against the cap, knowing that you get that relief on June 1st.
Right.
You know, I got rid of Eric Murray. I got rid of Daniel Sorensen. I got rid of Xavier Williams. I managed to restructure Justin Houston, which is maybe the most like, I'm kind of thinking, I'm optimistic. I'm okay. Optimistic because I tried to do it in a way to where it gave him more guaranteed money by a fairly significant amount. Yep.
Yeah, which is something that might actually get it done.
Yeah, that might come into play, you know, where I think if you can say to Houston, look, here's the deal. This guarantees you $15.5 million. If you get on the open market, you really think you're going to get a contract guaranteeing you 15.5. You're on the wrong side of 30, man. Look what Michael Bennett got. Right. You know, I mean, I think that might get it done. I think that's always harder for teams to do. I think that can be contentious. So, but anyway, so the theme for this is I want the defense as talented as possible. And I want to take one major problem area and turn it into a strength. And so the first place that I went is the safety position, obviously. Because in my fictitious world, right, I cut Berry, I cut Murray, I cut Sorensen.
Right, so you're looking at Lucas and Watts.
Yep, and I like Lucas and Watts, but they're largely unknowns. I think Armani Watts is, I think he's going to be a starting safety. I think he might even be a very good one, but he's an unknown right now. And so is Jordan Lucas. And so the first place I went, and so, I mean, if you want, we can walk through this step by step, or I can just give you the overarching plan, but we'll at least talk about the first guy.
Yeah.
I went big with Landon Collins.
Okay.
I view him as a great fit. And well, actually, let's do this a fun way. I'm going to tell you who I grabbed and I want you to tell me what you think. And then I have to defend myself. All right. I signed Landon Collins. Changed my mind.
I don't know that it changed my mind. I'm mostly with you. My concern would be the dollar amount because I think he's going to want a lot of money. I don't know that he's not going to be worth what he wants. I don't think he's worth Eric Berry money. I'll tell you the truth. So if you're replacing his contract with what Berry was earning, I think that's a little overpriced. Also, I'm a little concerned about the injury history. It hasn't been that long in the league, but he's had a couple. And so the medical for me is going to be really, really important. But I agree with you. The fit is there. The relationship with Spags is there. If there's a place that he can further his career to become a better safety and getting individual accolades and give himself a chance to be a Super Bowl champion, it's got to be in Kansas City.
You hit the nail on the head with a lot of my reasoning. I'm not as worried about the dollar amount, and we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. Because the deal is, and he actually had a quote about this last year that says it won't apply to him, so we'll see. The safety market is not what it was when Eric Berry signed that $13 million a year deal. It's just not. And I think the safety market is the one area where the idea of contracts getting bigger and bigger every year, I don't think it applies with safety.
I agree. Does Collins though?
Now, yeah, and if Collins doesn't, well, here's the deal. If Collins doesn't, he's going to talk to teams and they're going to say, okay, well, we'll just take a look and see, you know, what any of there are like, there are eight or so very good free agents who are safeties. Like very good. Like Eric Reed is off the market now. But I mean, now the strong safety is a little bit more dim, but in terms of good safeties, you do have Vaccaro, who's a very competent strong safety. And you have multiple other safeties who can play very, very, very well. And so I'm curious if teams are going to say, because I mean, if you look at the big contracts for safeties, Berry's didn't end well. So if he brings up Berry's, teams might be like, yeah, and the Chiefs released him. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're just because another team made a mistake doesn't mean we're going to. I don't know if teams are going to, especially him coming off a slightly down year for him. I just don't see it. So that's why I think Eric Reed, who had a similar season, if not a little better season than Landon Collins last year, he just signed for about 7.1 mil a year.
Right.
So I think you can maybe get there, for 10, 11 mil a year rather than like the full 13. Okay. But I think the fit is great and I think his style of play really fits in. Okay. So next move. Sign safety, free safety, Trey Boston. Change my mind.
He's a year older. Mm. He still doesn't tackle that well. I would say he might have taken a minuscule step forward last season on a single contract year. Don't like the hair personally, but that's just me. But no, he's a competent guy. He's somebody that I think we both talked about a lot last season when he was available, that he could play that deep safety and give them a chance to play more in the box, play more man coverage, and still have coverage over the top.
Right. And that's the big thing with him is if you're going to go big with the strong safety spot with Landon Collins, then with free safety, you go fairly big still because I don't think he had a very competent year last year. He's a good deep safety, not someone you want close to the box, but he's someone who can play over the top. But it's not going to be a huge contract. Be kind of like a medium size. I did 5 mil a year.
Yeah. Okay.
And so my big thing, and we'll go to break right after this and we can finish if you're okay continuing to try to change my mind. So far, you're terrible at it. We agree too much.
Well, I think that's coming to a head, my friend.
The big thing for me with Boston is that he can play a defined role. He's competent and you can plug him and Collins in and you can say, we are set at safety. We're done here. You got two pros who know what they're doing, who have defined roles, who are good at those roles. And that takes a major, huge positional need and completely wipes that out and eliminates it. And I think that's one thing free agency is for, is plugging the holes. You build for the future with the draft and you plug the holes with free agency.
Well, and if Spags use a third safety half as much as Bob Sutton did, then it's worth having those two young guys that have both shown some spark and both have some experience in Watts and Lucas as your third.
Right. And those guys, you can see kind of what they have for a year or two, because, you know, with Trey Boston, if it's like, say, a 3-year deal, it's not like you're beholden to starting him. Yeah. If you absolutely, you know, if you don't want to, you can move. I didn't get into structure because that does not make for an exciting article. No. Or good podcasting, but just so people know, go play with Over the Cap's cap calculator and you will find there is way more flexibility with this stuff than you think in terms of what you do year to year. And so that's important. All right. So we'll take a quick break and then Ryan and I will fight about stuff. And so that I'm excited for that.
Yeah, buddy.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right. So far, it's been hunky-dory. We've shared a brain as to what we would do if we were Brett Veach. We have revamped the safety position. You have a few more concerns than I do, but you're generally on board. You can see revamping the safety spot.
Yeah, I implore it. I would do it a different way, but we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah. Ooh, I would you know what? LaMarcus Joyner is intriguing to me, but that's neither here nor there. Or you could just spend big on Earl Thomas. But again, we can talk about that another day. I know you're not really high on Earl. Or is it Chris that's not high on Earl? You know, that Chris.
Seriously, God, folks, we'll argue with him tomorrow about this and some other things, but
You know, he hates Chris Jones. Oh, he hates Dee Ford. He hates America. This is terrible stuff.
That last one went too far. None of those are true, people.
None of those are true. Chris loves all of those things, and he loves you. And so, all right, we've revamped the safety. So now we're comfortable with safety. The Chiefs have a very good safety tandem now, especially for, I think, Spagnuolo's system. Mm-hmm. And now, yes, we've got some concerns still across the defense. For the record, if I were Brett Veach Part 2, didn't sign a single offensive player. The offense is set, guys. It's set for a year. Now, you got to draft some guys to start replenishing when guys leave, but the offense is set, in my opinion, and maybe they could go tight end in round one. Anyway.
Oh, you're so – no. First and foremost, there are two signings at two positions that they could make that as long as they're really low and value, then that's fine. You do need another backup running back. Either take them late in the draft or a UDFA, or there's a couple of guys that are intriguing because they've been able to produce. And the slot receiver. I'd like to see them look at some of those because I think they're going to be cheap in free agency.
I like all these ideas. I want to hear them. I don't know if we have time.
No, we'll do that next time. Let's finish your plan.
Yeah, let's hear your if I were Brett Veach for next time. All right, my next move, I would sign defensive tackle, technically defensive end right now, but he's a defensive tackle as well. Christian Covington from Houston. Hmm. Changed my mind.
Hasn't produced a whole lot in the league. Maybe not the penetrator that you want to play that mm-hmm. inside, you know, one gap kind of thing in the base. But at the three technique, I think he's solid. I think you're right. I think you could probably rotate out of him and he's going to be cheap.
And that's my thing. He's kind of an intriguing player. He's got decent size for that three tech type thing or where you could even move him around a little bit. He's had a little bit of productivity rushing the passer. But not much, mm-hmm. right? To me, he kind of replaces that Alan Bailey role where I think he can maybe take advantage of some of those individual matchups. He could thrive, I think, in that role. And because I think Bailey, and in a perfect world, honestly, I think I'd bring Alan Bailey back, but I don't think they're going to be able to because, you know, six or seven sacks, that's enough to get a guy paid. Yep. It is. And so Covington, it's interesting how difficult it is to find a guy who can fill in along the interior and maybe not be completely terrible against the pass and the run, mm-hmm. but you don't have to break the bank on him. Those are tough to find. There's a guy from Indy that I really want, but I think he's going to be too expensive. So
that makes sense.
So Covington's my guy. And this is where I have a feeling we're going to disagree because so far they're all things that I think are relatively they're swinging for the fences, but in a conservative way.
Mm.
My last thing that I would do, and if you're looking for like the entire reasoning here, besides just Ryan and I talking about it, you can find it on theathletic.com where I write, by the way.
Words.
If you didn't know.
Lots of
yes,
them.
Words. Yes. Sometimes I have pictures and even moving pictures.
Those are the ones I like.
Oh man. Well, I wish I could do pop-ups, but technology hasn't gotten there yet. My last thing and what I'm sure is the least controversial. I would take a giant swing for the fences and I would sign cornerback Jason Verrett for 2 years and $10 million with a Darrell Revis style setup to where like $8 million of that doesn't go on the books unless he's healthy in 2019. Ryan, change my mind.
Are you still napping? Seriously? This guy's played what? 18 contests in 2 years? I mean, in 3 years? The guy is clinically broken all the time. You will not get six games out of him. You cannot pay him. You cannot rely on him. He cannot have a roster spot. You have lost your ever loving mind.
Yeah, but you can imagine if he did, right?
Oh.
I'm going a little Billy Madison on here. Yeah, but you can imagine what it would be like. I hear you. I hear that. But here's the thing. Have you looked at this corner market?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a barren wasteland of just.
And that's what I'm saying. Walk away. Just walk away. There is not a corner for you. These are not the players you're looking for.
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't know we were going to be singing.
No, please stop. You can sing though, can't you?
Yeah, but that's a whole different world.
So I hear you. And maybe this is me feeling the need to tinker.
Mm.
I get it, man. He was fantastic in 2015. Unfortunately for him, three full seasons of football have gone on since then. And I get it. And I just, you know, and yes, one of his injuries is an Achilles. And at this point, Chiefs fans are like going fetal at that. Right. Knee injuries, shoulder injuries. I get it. Here's how I think of this. And I mean, doesn't this make a little bit of sense? And I know you're going to say no, but I'm going to say it anyway. With Charvarius Ward, who I really like, coming on last season, that helps with the desperate need at corner. Now, they still have a big need.
It helps, yes, but I don't think he's – I think he played well in sporadic duty. I worry about him overall. I'm not ready for him to be a starter.
We've seen this play before.
Uh-huh.
We've seen this with Terrence Mitchell, who I wish they would have kept around, honestly. I mean, no, he's not bad.
He's a sieve.
Never mind then. I guess that's what he was. But I mean, you know, we've seen this with Philip Gaines, who also couldn't stay healthy, but mm-hmm. flashed some great talent. And we saw it with Marcus Cooper, who didn't look that good, but he looked okay against backcourt. We've seen this play before. I get it. I mean, Orlando Scandrick started off pretty strong last year. I get it. And so with Ward, and so there is a big need, but here's my thing. If Barrett stays healthy, you have a shutdown corner on a cheap deal. And I mean, he could. There's a possibility.
Stop hugging the Easter Bunny and let's go back to reality.
People play the lottery for a reason, Ryan.
Yes, they do. And that's how they make money at the lottery.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot. I was arguing against myself there. Okay, fine. You're right. That one is probably the one I'm least strong on. Maybe the best thing to do is just walk away from the free agent market, at least right now, and then just revisit it after, you know, kind of similar. Look, Scandrick, for as badly as things ended for him, if the Chiefs don't sign Scandrick, I think they might lose an extra game because he did have some really good plays early in the season before kind of getting exposed.
Let me hit you with this number, and this is what it all boils down to me. Skill level aside, 25 out of 64 career games he's been eligible to play in.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was really good.
That ain't half, man. That ain't half.
He was really good in those 25
games.
Oh,
yeah, he's stellar. Oh, jeez.
All you need is for him to be healthy for those last three games. It's the Eric Berry theory. I make jokes because I'm trying to numb myself for when the inevitable parting comes. I hear you. I looked at the free agent corners, and I got to tell you, you know, if I were a random team looking, I mean, besides Darby, who has struggled with health as well, not nearly as much as Verrett, although he had kind of struggled badly earlier in his career. You know, and Steven Nelson might be the best option.
He's one of them, yeah. I mean, the whole release of Cap'n Mutterlin, a lot of experience, a lot like Scandrick. He's over the hill. He's on the backside of his career, but he's got experience, and that might be worth it for a cheap contract. Yep. Bryce Callahan, another guy with a lot of experience, plays in the slot best. You got Fuller for that, so eh.
Kareem Jackson's got a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are guys that are out there. You know, I don't think Bradley Roby has been consistent enough. He gets picked on a lot by the Chiefs. I don't know. There's just no one really inspiring out there. But because of that, I think there's a good chance that like Darby and Nelson get very overpaid.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
And so to me, like Verrett to me is kind of a swing for the fences that's relatively cheap. But really what you can do this year is draft a couple corners. And then as the season approaches, you know, also grab a few undrafted free agents. Then as the season approaches, grab a veteran or two and hope that it works out. Now that's kind of a bummer for me because I think Spagnuolo's defense is at its best with one very strong corner.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't fix everything. Although, hey, you know, maybe there's the whole, maybe they could just trade for Jalen Ramsey. I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah. let's just unravel the whole thing right now. Okay.
Let's just blow it up. We'll trade for Ramsey and Antonio Brown and say YOLO over and over again.
I will say this. I think any of the top three corners are decent in this draft. I think if you mm-hmm. decide to trade up for Murphy, who I think is probably better in a zone than in man, or Williams, who I think is better in man, I think those two, even though they're rookies and starting rookies is dangerous, I think they can give you that what you're looking for with Spags, where one dynamic shutdown corner that can do it, and then you can fill in around him. So it take a trade up, I think, but I think I'm willing.
I'm with you on it.
Okay, well, that was easy.
you talked me into it.
So tomorrow, folks, what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go edit this article real quick.
Nice. Okay, I like it. But no, you know, I understand where you're coming from, trying to fix as many holes on the cheap as you can pre-draft and then do the rest there. I get it. Anything else after reviewing and having me help you find your senses again that in retrospect, now that this article is done, that maybe you might throw in there now?
Nah, I'm pretty comfortable.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
I've used up all my thoughts for this week.
All right, fine. I'll just say this. On the offensive side, as we preview what we'll talk about, an interesting one came up to me today who's on a down year. I don't think he's going to get a big contract. I think maybe $3 million-ish, maybe $4-ish at the most. I think TJ Yeldon's a pass-catching back that could spell in for Damian Williams and give them a lot of security back in the backfield.
Right. You know, every time I've seen Yeldon, I've been impressed.
I just don't want him as the feature. He's great as a secondary role, and I think that's the 1-2 punch of the two of them, I think, could be good.
Oh, that could be impressive. I'd like it.
Okay. We'll have to look at film, but at least I got one in there. Okay, so that said, folks, thank you for listening today. We appreciate everything you guys have been doing and still leaving iTunes reviews in the middle of the offseason. I appreciate that. We're ramping up post-combine for the draft. We'll shift that way. But Seth's going to be back tomorrow with the mailbag, right?
Yes, and I am excited.
Well,
I've had fun with that. I get to, like, finally, like, it's fun. I enjoy it.
I'm glad you do, because it's fun to listen to. So, folks, make sure you check that out tomorrow, and we'll be back next week. We'll start going through what we saw at the Combine, getting ready for starting to slot in. Hopefully, we'll have some news about the franchise tag as well, and figure out how it all works together, taking what Seth's already done and taking it the next step. So thank you for all your time. We appreciate you listening today. We'll be back to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.